speak?
I actually do.
Okay.
My friend John
Keane,
you may know him.
Yeah. Hello, John. Oh, wow. That's wow. So did everybody hear that? Anybody not hear that? Because I can almost semi-repeat it. John Pugh, who is big with, the camp, I mean, not the camp, but the women's, the auction that we would do for... Yes. Yeah, Morningstar. Yes. There were like 14 people said something, and I went, yeah, I didn't hear a thing, a single thing y'all said. John Pugh's big with Morningstar as a volunteer there. Anyway, he was run over in a parking lot purposefully and has a lot of body damage from two broken collarbones, a broken femur in several places, and has had surgery and broken ribs and really, wow, really, really need some prayers. Anybody else?
Jackie Benton?
And what's it's cancer. Okay. 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 Anybody else? Yes. What's his name? Barrett. So Barrett. Okay. Anybody else? All right. We have birthdays this week. Brandon Adams and Sean Everingham. Where's Brandon? Does he see Brandon? They're sitting next to each other. That's kind of weird. All right, real quickly, we're going to sing happy birthday. We're going to do it in speed version, though, okay? And we're going to go Brandon and Sean. That's alphabetically, I think. All right, ready? Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Brandon and Sean, happy birthday to you. All right. Yeah, whatever. All right, and then we have a couple anniversaries. Bill and Teddy that's on the 3rd, and then we got some more down the road. We'll get to those later. All right, anybody else? We're going to make this short. No song today. We're going to get to, what's your name again? Con? Are you sure it's not Buzz Tutley?
Maybe.
He used to have questions. We had to have a quiz. He'd have a verbal quiz. He would actually, you know, give like a 10-question quiz. And the last question was always, Buzz Tutley once said that the world is like a slinky. And I'm saying, he goes, true or false? You say true or false. And I'm going, I don't know. I know it's a trick question, but I don't know if it's true or false. It's like a double negative type thing. So anyway, all right, we'll get to him. It was great last week. I don't know if y'all missed it. If y'all was great last week, and he's going to be great this week if I can ever get off the stage. All right, if you would pray with me, please. Oh, and one other thing that we do want to keep, what? Camp, junior and senior camp is this week, and be with everybody there. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you've given us, for this wonderful church that we attend, for this class that we have, and the relationships, the friendships that are here. And I just ask you to continue to watch and bless over that. Or be with Barrett Conifer and the test results that he's going to have coming back for Jackie Benton for the cancer that she has. I just pray that you will heal her, that you will help them both to recover fully. Lord, John Pugh, ask that you watch over his body as he heals. And I know as we get older, we don't bounce back quite as quickly. And I just ask that you watch over him. Be with the campers this week for those that are there taking care of them and watching over them and helping them to grow closer to you. I just pray that you watch over all that. Be with Con this morning and in his lesson, and be with us as we receive. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
And hello, friends. How are you doing today? You know, somewhere today, in Nepal or in Tibet, in a cave, some carven aperture, there's a man in there with a bald head, with saffron robe on, his palms like this, burning sandalwood, and he's chanting or humming in an unusual register as he's trying his best to find the great oversoul. He wants to find God. In Thailand, they have little prayer streams and little prayer ribbons and water dalliances that they place there so that some God will hear their prayer. You in here today, we're all looking for the assurance that God is real, because when you determine that, it makes getting old, it makes death, everything becomes less onerous and burdensome in your mind. Is that not true? It is my responsibility to make sure that you know that God is real, that he's not just a concept, that we didn't invent God, that we are really children of God, that you're important, that when you die, there is a resurrection and you will live again, every one of you, and that you're very important. Well, how do we do that? Well, one thing is we go to the Bible, and because I believe the Bible is the Word of God, that's what I want to do, to make you understand and believe in the same God that we all want to believe in and want more belief in. Everybody in here would give everything you have to touch the face of God, wouldn't you? You would love to do that, because that kind of assurance would clear up so many things. You would be nicer, kinder, and better. All right, how do we do this? I want you to know there's several reasons why I really believe the Bible, and we're going to do a recap of Jonah, and we're going to start in on Amos, I promise. But this is very important. One of the reasons why I believe in the Bible, not only because of the tremendous things the prophets said, I mean, it has to be from God. And before it's over with, you are going to see, and you're going to believe just like I do. We get in and you read in Ezekiel, and Ezekiel points out, according to, and with a little assist from Exodus, that 1948 was the beginning of the Israeli nation. Go figure. And Deuteronomy 28:64. Now think about how long ago that was, written by Moses. He predicts that the children of Israel will go into captivity. Can you imagine? You think that's you can find that in the book of Veda, the Hindu Bible? I don't think so. Do you think you can find it in the Quran? No. But here, Jonathan, over 1,000 years ago, he predicts it. And not only, he goes on and he says that one nation that will take them into power is under the eagle, which, what country had the eagle as their symbol? The Roman Empire. Can you imagine? Does that not inspire you? Now, that's not all. Zephaniah 3:9 said these captives that come back will speak a pure language. That pure language is Hebrew. Now look, you think about this. Where are the Amalekites? Where are the Ammonites? Where are the Philistines? Where are the Hittites? Where are the parasites? But you know who still remains? The Jews. And not only that, Zephaniah says that when they do come back, they will speak a pure language. What language? It's the only country in the whole world that has been restored that speaks its own language. And what language is that they speak in Israel today? Hebrew. Does that not inspire you? The Bible. It tells you in Ezekiel 28:25, Ezekiel says this about the children of Israel. Now remember, what makes this so special, this is even more special, is because I told you the last time, all Jews are Israelites, but not all Jews. And if you know that, and you read up to the Babylonian captivity, see, then it makes sense. Now, after Babylonian captivity, the people begin to generically call them all Jews, and I understand that. But the prophecy itself, there's a distinction. And if you keep the distinction that I tell you, then you won't end up like those people on YouTube who think that they have found mistakes in the Bible or inaccuracies or things that are contradictory. There's none. If you follow the formula, Ezekiel tells you that if you bless, if we Gentiles bless the nation of Israel, we will be blessed. It's there. If you curse the nation of Israel, you will be cursed. From 1933 to 1945, Nazi Germany was the most powerful country that ever existed. Hitler was not an idiot. They were well organized. They had great secret weapons. They were working on an anti-gravity machine like a flying saucer over in Hungary. They had all these things. But as strong as Nazi Germany was, as well organized as they were, and as great as soldiers as they had, and with the great cause they had, why is it, do you think, they failed? They cursed Israel. Ezekiel 36:33 is next, and I'm going to have to refer to my notes on 36:33, but Mark Twain, the American writer, I know I don't mean to insult your intelligence, but he went to Israel back in the 1870s. Now, you understand, not any Jews were living in the land, and I'm calling them Jews because it's after the Babylonian captivity. There was no Jews there, George. And he writes in his diary, this land is desolate. Now, mind you, while the Jews were there up until even after AD 70, I heard someone say the other day, all the Jews were taken away. That's not true. Just Jerusalem was destroyed. It was really another occurrence that happened that caused the Jews to be in the final diaspora. But anyway, what happens here is that all the Jews are taken away and the land becomes desolate. But just like Ezekiel said, as he's speaking to the children of Israel, and which is so unusual, here is this Levi living by the Kabar Canal, living with Jews. And he's talking about a people that had been taken away 150 years before. And he says, once they come back, the land will flower again. Read it for yourself. He tells you they're going to come back. It's going to be desolate. He tells you that and tells you the land will prosper. Did you know that Israel is one of the biggest exporters of tomatoes in the world? They are. Do you know they're one of the five richest countries in the world? They are. Do you know that they are second to only the United States in scientific advancement? They are. You becoming a believer now? What language do they speak in Israel? Hebrew. They don't do that in Italy. They don't speak Latin. You don't find anybody in Mexico speaking either Mayan or Aztec. There's no vestiges of it. The only country in the world is Israel. Now, are you believing a little bit better? If a man picks out some numbers and Exodus says to multiply it seven times, and I give you numbers of Ezekiel saying that if the Israelites don't repent, multiply it seven times, that comes out to 1948, and Israel becomes a nation in 1948, does that impress you? I would say so. Beginning to believe a little bit better. All right. Last time we were together, we were studying Jonah. You'll remember that Jonah, and by the way, if you're a clock watcher, I'll get you out of here at 11 o'clock. I promise. I taught for 36 years in the classroom, and when it gets to be 11 o'clock, we're gone. But anyway, back to this again. Jonah, you'll remember, is not Jewish. He is from the tribe of Zebulun. He is an Israelite. You remember that I told you about the brother of North song, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three wandering Jews, and none of them were Jewish. But I didn't want to say anything because he's brother North. You don't tell brother North things. You just nod your head. But anyway, Jonah is commissioned by God to go to Nineveh. And you remember I had the Assyrians over here and Syria up here. Are they the same? No. The Assyrians and Syria, it may sound the same. All those funny little continental slides in there, but they're not the same. Assyria is where modern-day Iraq is. How many of y'all have heard of the city of Mosul? That is where Nineveh was. Now you go down to Baghdad, about 50 miles south of Baghdad is where ancient Babylon was. They're different. But anyway, the Syrians are darker. They have a more brown-colored, swarthy hue. The Iranians are the people that, the northern Iraqis around Mosul are real white-skinned and dark-bearded and sometimes light-eyed. Anyway, Jonah is commissioned to go to Nineveh to preach and tell them that they have committed a great sin. But he doesn't want to go because he wants God to punish Nineveh. You all remember that? And he gets on a ship and he goes to Spain. He's on his way to Spain. And then, you know, bad things happen. I'm not going to go over Jonah again. Anyway, he's swallowed by a fish. He goes to Nineveh. He preaches to Nineveh. He doesn't go there preaching about beer, cigarettes, and short skirts. He doesn't do old-time gospel. It is a very serious matter. He's there to preach about some breach between Israel and Assyria, and apparently sworn in both gods' names, Ashur and the Holy Yahweh. But anyway, the king of Assyria takes him seriously and covers himself in ashes, and will not eat between 6 and 6. And we talked about that the last time, how that Muhammad, who is from that same area, has the same custom. And during Ramadan, he will not eat between 6 and 6. And on Ramadan, after 6 o'clock, they can eat. I like that. Please don't quit coming to this class. Well, you did well. Anyway, Jonah will die in Nineveh according to legend. And his tomb was there. Why he never did return back to Israel or return to Israel, rather, for better diction. Anyway, he didn't return to Israel, but he dies there according to the Muslims, and his tomb was there until 7 years ago, ISIS blew it up. But today we have a new man. The king that was king that said that he was sorry and he put ash cloth, you know, he wore sackcloth rather and put ashes on his head. He is killed shortly afterwards by a man named Pul. Pul will change his name to Tiglath, and you kind of go along with me here, Pilasar the third. He's bad. He's not very nice. He probably doesn't use his salad fork. He just probably didn't say, excuse me, pardon me. By the way, there's a difference between excuse me and pardon me. Did you know that? Did you know when you say excuse me, the word ex means you're leaving? Mark, if you're at a ball game and you're getting up and there's big Joy Seals over there, little size 13 shoes he wears, and you're getting ready to go down there and you say, Joy, excuse me, because you're leaving. Remember when you were little and your mother and dad taught you to say, if you need to go to the restroom, you'd say, Miss So-and-so, may I be excused? You remember that? EX, go. Pardon me means a slight interruption. If you got some ketchup there and I'd say, pardon me, I need to get that ketchup. Why wouldn't I say, excuse me? Because why? I'm not leaving. Anyway, Amos is a prophet and he lives, he's Jewish. He's from the tribe of Judah, and Babylonian captivity has not taken place, so we got to be very careful what we say. Because those people were very, very much aware of their tribes. And God appears to Amos, and he shows him a series of visions. He's from the little town of Tekoa, but your tour guide there in Israel will call it Tekoa. I'm not going to call it Tekoa. But anyway, that's probably the real name of it. It's 13 miles south of Jerusalem. It is 7 miles from Bethlehem. And Micah lived at Morasheth, which is over to the left some. I always wondered if they had a Division I basketball area, you know, see Bethlehem playing Tekoa or Morasheth. When we get to Hosea and he has a son with a name this long, I always wonder how that would look on the back of his jersey. His name goes on forever. But anyway, we're not to Hosea yet. Amos is a shepherd, and he works with sycamore trees or figs. These sycamore trees are big. You know, in my mind's eye, I always thought they'd probably be a little dinky tree like that, you know, and a few little figs. No. I mean, they're bigger around than a Joshua tree. I mean, they're big. Anyway, they have the fruit on there, and you have to get up and cut them to let a larva fly out. And so that was his job. He would get up on a ladder and cut all the fruit. You put a little incision in it and let this Mediterranean fruit fly out so that the larva will not eat up the fig. And he was a goat herdsman. But now he sees a series of visions for him to go to Israel. And the reason that he is told to go to Israel is because the nation is going down the tube. Now, the last time I was here, I told you there are three laws. There's man-made laws. And if you get caught, you suffer the consequences. And I think there's 26 branches of law. Whether it be traffic, tort, whatever. If you run a stoplight, you're going to get, if somebody catches you, you'll pay a ticket. Trajectory. Then we have the laws of nature. Trajectory, ohms. Roger, my son over here, if you use the wrong kind of conduit, like aluminum instead of copper, it overheats and you're going to have fires. A lot of those 1970s houses got too hot, had some fires. If I don't care how nice you are, if I get up there on top of the LNC Tower with the biggest drunk in Nashville and we jump off, we're going to fall the same speed. I'm not going to suddenly slow down. They'll say, well, that's old Con. He's a good old boy. No, me and old Homer, we're going to go just the same speed. And if you break God's laws, that's the part that people don't seem to understand. If you break God's laws, they will break you. That's the reason why the book of Psalms has all those things in there to study the law. The law is a lamp. If you break them, they will hurt you. It's slow, but always effective. And most people don't understand it. They just think, well, Psalms, that's nice. A little law, a little, be kind to some stranger, you know, kind of lump it into courtesy. No, no, it's serious business. The people in Israel, you have a disparity between the rich and the poor. They are ignoring the Ten Commandments. And they are worshiping nature gods along with God. They still go to the sites to sacrifice. They even buy big, brand new, looking, healthy, stalwart looking bulls to go sacrifice, and they're going by. But Amos, he can see all this in a vision, and he's upset, and he knows he has to go. He doesn't want to go. He didn't want to go, but he will go. So he sees these visions, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But anyway, I want to go ahead and tell you what's going on in the land. They are worshiping Baalim and Ashtaroth. How many of y'all have heard of them before? How many have not? Be honest. All right, let me take times because you're important. Baalim is the plural fertility god, and it's usually the sky and the weather. Your Bible class teacher will probably call him Baal, but that's usually not the, that's not the, it's a Baal, is the male Canaanite god that was represented from all the lands. He's represented as a bull. The female Ashtaroth or Astarte is the goddess of the earth. Ashtaroth in your Bible, mark when it ends in O-T-H, is plural. These are the different variant forms of the earth goddess. Are you with me? In the spring of the year when they had the vernal equinox, and that means when the day and night are about the same, men with shaved heads, shaved bodies, and maybe a linen wrap, they would go out with eggs and rabbits and wait for the dawn of the sun. They would go out and they would hold up these eggs and rabbits, and here would be the dawning sun, and they would chant, and they'd hold up. Rabbits were sex symbols. Eggs were fertility symbols to celebrate this particular spring day. And what do we do thousands of years later? Yep. We got little kids out there chasing those eggs, and some deacon with a horseshoe hairstyle and a little pal, he'll go out there and say, get them eggs, Claude, that's Christian, boy. Go figure. Go figure. So, anyway, there's what you have as far as that is concerned, and they would plant groves of trees. How many of y'all have ever read in the Old Testament about groves of trees? Come on, give me some hands. How many say no? You don't know. How many say, I wish you'd quit early so I can go eat lunch? How many? No, I don't want to ask that. What it is that they would plant groves of trees. I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but these were very erotically shaped groves, so that the male gods going over would look down and become simulated. How many of y'all understand what I'm saying? So when you're reading in the Old Testament about groves of trees, this is not just a grove of trees. You don't just go by in some Canaanite is out there and saying, well, I got me some pecans out there. No. They would shape these trees on purpose. It was done on purpose, and that's the reason why it's condemned. That's the reason why Gideon was told to cut down his father-in-law's groves. How many of y'all remember that? His father-in-law didn't like it either. Anyway, Amos sees some visions, and if we don't finish Amos, we will the next time. One thing he sees Samaria, and there's a plumb line hanging down. Plumb line. Back when I was a young and precious boy, I remember these transits along the highway would have these little strings with a piece of lead on it. I don't know what year they stopped doing that. Now they've gone to, it's done with, what's it done with now, Raj?
Satellite.
It's a lot different. But in the old days, they had that plumb line and with a piece of lead. And plumb, P-L-U-M-B, is the Latin word plumbius. It means lead. On your periodic chart in the chemistry class, what is the symbol of lead? PB. A man in ancient Rome that would fix lead pipes, since OR means one who, what would he be called if he fixed it? A plumber. That's where it all came from. Anyway, the city of Samaria, it has this plumb line, and it's found not to be plumb or not to be straight. And God tells him he's fed up. He's fed up with the inequities, how they are selling their own kind into slavery for not being able to pay a debt, which was wrong. The sexual immorality. Sex is a wonderful gift from God. But if it is misused, we all know it can lead to great unhappiness. And that's what's going on in Israel. It's being misused. Idolatry. All these things that are going wrong. And Amos is told to go there. And he also sees in a vision how the people are lined up to do sacrifices. And here will be some guy with a symbol of Kiwan. And Kiwan is the planet Saturn. And the planet Saturn was, the people of that area saw it on December the 25th off the coast, and they would go, Kiwan, they'd start making little images because they knew the days were going to get longer. They'd say, that's another fertility day. They would serve eggnog. They'd put up mistletoe because that was a male sex symbol, give gifts to each other. On December the 25th. Is there kind of a ringing a bell here somewhere? When Christians went out into the pagan world, we conquered the pagans, but the pagans also conquered us. We just simply Christianized a lot of pagan traditions. We need to be careful. Does that make God any less? No. I've already told you. Isn't it pretty remarkable about the country of Israel? Now, we're apparently not going to get into Amos today. But that's okay. Sometimes you got to do a little groundwork. But here's the deal. Amos will take off, and he will go there fortified with a number of visions, and he will go into Israel. And do you think he's going to be well received? He's not. Remember now, what is he? He's Jewish, and he's going to the Israelites, and they are a kindred tribe. I mean, they're a nation, but they're different. Tennessee and Kentucky, we're pretty close. Roger and I have a lot of our relatives came from Kentucky. We're close, but they're not the same. If somebody from Tennessee went up to Frankfort, Kentucky and began to stand out there, I don't think they would like that if we were trying to tell them what to do. Amos goes there into Israel, and he runs into, and I want you to write this down now. He runs into a man named Amaziah, or Amaziah, if you, another pronunciation. But Amaziah is probably correct. And Amaziah is at Bethel. And the king of Israel at that time is Jeroboam II. Jeroboam is, like many people we know, he wants to play ball with everybody. Some guy says, I'd like to worship, you know, all these farmers had these little groves of trees and everything because that was their good luck. They wanted it to rain. He's not going to tell them to cut down those groves of trees. He didn't want anybody to be unhappy with him. It's called syncretism when you mix religions. How many of y'all have ever heard of the Sikhs? Over in India, you remember they got those big, huge turbans? Yeah, they go up forever. Oh, yeah, they are. And if they run a market, you don't argue when you get your cupcakes. Yeah, you just pay. If he overcharges you, go, thanks, pal. You want some more? The Sikhs are a mixture of Muslim and Hindu. And the Rastafarian of Jamaica. How many of y'all heard of the Rastafarian? You know, all those big dreadlocks? It's a mixture of Christianity and Judaism. And according to the Rastafarians, in the last days, Haile Selassie, who once was the emperor of Ethiopia, he will be the servant of Jesus. He'll reach down and grab him by the dreadlocks and take him to heaven. That is what's known as a syncretic or a syncretism when you mix two religions. Do you think God wants them to have syncretism with Baal? No, you're exactly right. They don't. And Amos will go there. But you know what? Next time, oh boy, we're going to go right into it. We kind of went around the fringes today, but we almost have to do that sometime. Anybody got any questions for me before we phase out class? Because we have 4 minutes till 11, and I told you I'd get you out on time. I think this, I you know, and I'm not going to try to give you a Jeroboam II political answer because I give gifts. I don't do the eggs and stuff like that. But anyway, I think that everybody knows that I don't believe that's Jesus' birthday. I think that's a difference. You know, if you didn't say, I'm not going to give you a gift because Con Hamlet told me not to do it, and there's your wife over there, you know, everybody else is getting, you know, stuff, and you say, nope, I'm not going to do it. I don't think that's too smart. Get your wife, get your husband a nice gift and a lot of gifts. Just say to yourself, this is not really Jesus' birthday. Can we strike a deal? Yeah, that's right, but still yet. I know that Acts 4:12 tells me the only name that I can be saved by, and what name is that? Jesus. Do you believe God a little bit more today than you did when you came in here? I hope so, because we're going to do this over and over again where you're going to be amazed. And what did Amos say about the nation of Israel, the modern day? He didn't say Judah now. Because Judah was reestablished and it was destroyed. But he said the modern day, or he puts down the day of Israel, rather Israel will be restored and it will never be uprooted again. So are you worried about Iran? No. Forget them. We know how the book ends. Have a good day, my friends, and see you next Sunday as we continue.
Good time to give you a wedgie.
Yeah, 14? Not 14?
He
said 13. He said 13.
Todd Hibbs is a worm of a man. I turned the volume down so people can't hear me, but Todd Hibbs is a worm of a man.